If the United States attacks Iraq, it would be a war between armies that know each other intimately. The two countries have been exchanging fire ever since the Gulf War in 1991. U.S. officials believe that both sides have learned from those years of conflict, and as NPR's Steve Inskeep reports, that long experience may affect the size and the danger of a future war.
U.S. Air Force pilots patrol the skies over northern Iraq, enforcing a no-fly zone that's been imposed on the country. Brigadier General Buster Ellis says anti-aircraft crews fire on his pilots roughly once an hour during their missions.
We have seen them use what I would classify as science projects. We're there, and on the days that we fly Northern Watch, we're available for them to experiment with.
The Iraqis fire different weapons in different ways. U.S. pilots sometimes fire back, but over the years they've been getting fewer clear shots. General Ellis says Iraq's military has moved its weapons close to civilian targets, including the swimming pools of a theme park near the city of Mosul.
They place systems within that water park all the time. They place systems in proximity of their mosques. They place systems in the last remaining historic ruins of Assyria, Nineveh.
In the war in Afghanistan, the United States battled enemies who seemed utterly ignorant of what the U.S. military could do. Taliban fighters drove into one major battle by steering a massive convoy along an open desert road. U.S. airplanes spotted them easily, and the burned-out pickup trucks still line that highway for miles. Mullah Muhammad Omar tried to protect one of his houses from U.S. bombs by covering the roof with rubber tires. Analyst Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution says Iraq has fewer illusions.
The Iraqis have a serious military institution. They do have generals. They do study war. They do try to infer lessons from past conflicts, and presumably the simplest mistakes, the easiest ones to fix, they won't make again.
O'Hanlon suspects that Iraq's forces have learned from the first Gulf War, when the U.S. devastated their trench lines in the desert. In a second war, Iraq's army could deploy in cities. It would be harder to find enemy troops and harder to hit them without killing civilians. Air Force General John Jumper has been closely watching Iraq for years, first as a commander in the Middle East and now as the Air Force Chief of Staff.
Well, they learn that they don't want to sit in one place very often, and they learn if they do, they die.
In an interview with NPR, General Jumper recalled the first Gulf War, when the U.S. never found the mobile launchers for enemy Scud missiles.
Largely because we hadn't anticipated that, and we hadn't developed the tactics and techniques and procedures to go after that kind of threat. The mobile targets, especially the ones under the weather, it's no secret, have always been the toughest problem for them. We're getting better at it.
General Jumper says the U.S. has also learned some lessons. The United States has worked to improve communications so that when U.S. soldiers or satellites identify a target, the U.S. can call in an airstrike before the enemy has time to move. But the most critical targets may be the hardest to find because of another lesson Iraq has learned. In 1981, Israeli warplanes bombed an Iraqi nuclear reactor. Since then, Iraq has spread out and concealed its facilities for developing nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. In 1998, the U.S. tried to bomb those facilities, but couldn't find them. Analyst Michael O'Hanlon says the U.S. only claimed to have damaged a few missile production facilities.
And that's a relatively modest claim when you think about the fact that we own the sky over Iraq and we had 4 days of unimpeded bombing during which to cause devastation to its capabilities.
Some advocates of a war to remove Saddam Hussein say Iraq's long experience won't matter. Badly led, demoralized, and short of spare parts, Iraq's army may collapse quickly. Analyst Ken Pollack of the Council on Foreign Relations agrees that the U.S. would likely win a war, but he says it may take a large commitment.
There's been a debate in the press over whether we do it with air power alone or ground forces, and if it's a ground force, is it a big ground force or a small ground force? And my feeling is this is not a war that we should be trying to win on style. We need to bring all of the forces at our disposal. We need to bring the full range of our capabilities.
As they consider their options, U.S. leaders acknowledge their enemy has spent years getting to know them. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.